Trend number two, the middle class jobs crisis. Perhaps the biggest challenge facing the United States in the coming decade is the decline of its traditional middle class. This group, which made up about 60 to 80% of the population, was crucial to our global dominance throughout the mass production era. Like few other countries, American culture was defined from the late 19th century by mass media markets, mass consumer markets, and relatively homogeneous social values, all personified by the middle class. For the most part, these people lived in nuclear families and owned homes, automobiles, telephones, and televisions. Most of them watched a few television networks. They mostly attended public schools. Most were at least nominally Christian or Jewish. They mostly trusted business and the government. And they felt life would be even better for their children than it was for them. This perception rested on an economic system that provided a typical high school graduate with an ample opportunity to find a job that paid enough to fund these needs, and even offered many lifelong careers with a single employer. When coupled with a growing social safety net for retirees, this middle-class ideal became the dream to which immigrants and others around the world aspired. However, that model began to reach its limits in the late 1960s and early 1970s. The 70s saw the mass production revolution plateau, and coincidentally, we witnessed the birth of the digital revolution. But even as the 80s and 90s saw the takeoff of the personal computer and the internet, the institutions of the mass production revolution stayed in place. And just as America's middle-class workforce benefited from the extraordinary situation in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s, it has suffered increasingly from the mismatch between our economic institutions and the demands of the digital revolution. The clearest example is the ever-growing polarization in the workforce. The increase in the proportion of high-skill and low-skill jobs relative to the middle-skilled became evident about two decades ago. The U.S. labor market did not experience much polarization in the 1980s. Low-skilled jobs were replaced by high-skilled jobs, while the number of middle-skilled jobs remained largely unchanged. Instead, polarization began about 25 years ago in the early 1990s and intensified in the last decade. In a recent report from the Dallas Fed, economist Anton Cheremukin examined how the evolution of the economy drove this polarization. As Cheremukin shows, employment in the United States is becoming increasingly polarized, growing ever more concentrated in the highest-paying and lowest-paying occupations. Market changes involving middle-skilled jobs in the U.S. are hastening labor market polarization. The distribution of jobs by skill level has shifted dramatically since 1980. The number of jobs requiring medium levels of skill has shrunk, while the number at both ends of the distribution, those requiring high and low skill levels, has expanded. To understand what's really happening, you have to look at the underlying nature of the jobs that people do. When the government collects data on jobs, occupations are classified into four categories. 1. Cognitive, non-routine jobs are usually high-skill jobs that require performing abstract tasks, such as problem-solving, intuition, and persuasion. These typically require a college degree. 2. Manual, non-routine jobs are mostly low-skill jobs that involve manual tasks and require personal traits such as situational adaptability, visual language recognition, and in-person interaction. These usually do not require a high school diploma. 3. Cognitive routine jobs are middle-skill jobs that require the ability to follow precise, well-understood procedures, which can be carried out by a computer. Often, middle-skill jobs require a high school diploma or even a higher level of education. 4. manual routine jobs are lower-skill jobs that require the ability to follow well-understood procedures, which can't easily be carried out by a computer. These jobs often don't require a high school education. Routine jobs declined from 58% of U.S. employment in 1981 to 44% in 2011, while both types of non-routine jobs have expanded. Out of the overall routine job decline of 14%, 10% were replaced by higher-paying, high-skill, non-routine cognitive jobs. And the remaining 4% were downgraded to lower-paying, low-skill, non-routine manual jobs. The biggest declines in cognitive routine jobs were concentrated in such occupations as administrative support and sales. Examples of rapidly declining jobs are clerks, tellers, cashiers, telemarketers, title examiners, bookkeepers, insurance underwriters, travel agents, and technicians. Among the manual routine jobs on the decline are mail carriers, drivers, cooks, and engravers. So, what is behind this shift? And how does it relate to the misfit between the characteristics of institutions optimized for the mass production era and the characteristics needed for the digital era? First, organized labor was a major institution in defining the labor markets of the mass production era, and it's in heavily unionized sectors, such as manufacturing and government, where the United States has lost its competitive edge. Today, foreign automakers supply the U.S. market from non-unionized plants in the United States. Grudgingly, American unions have eased work rules to enable the shrunken domestic manufacturers to compete. More commonly, unionized companies have turned increasingly to offshoring for routine work. Second, women were hit much harder than men by the disappearance of middle-skilled jobs, especially the routine cognitive occupations. However, they have also been more willing to upgrade their skills and find better-paying jobs. By comparison, more than half of men who lost middle-skilled jobs, largely of the non-routine manual type, had to settle for lower-paying occupations. Women's higher rates of education attainment in recent decades is a major reason for this difference. Third, that raises perhaps the biggest disconnect between mass production institutions and those needed to support a workforce that can create and fill middle-skilled, middle-class jobs. The mass production model required a vast pool of non-routine manual workers and routine cognitive workers. But both categories of jobs are rapidly being automated away. Today, cognitive non-routine jobs require a college degree or even graduate school, since too few people have been coming out of high school prepared to pursue vocationally valuable degrees. The rate of increase in the ratio of workers with a college degree relative to those with a high school diploma flattened in the early 1980s. The result has been a steep rise in the college earnings premium, which rose from just 10% in 1982 to 100% in 2008. One reason why so many men were unable to find higher-paying jobs and settled for lower-paying occupations is their relatively lower level of education. And fourth, a final factor leading to the decline of the middle class has been that those middle-skilled workers who've lost their jobs have often had to enter routine manual occupations with stagnant or declining wages. As the trend titled The Great Immigration Job Grab in our August 2014 issue clearly showed, immigrants have filled every net new job created since 2000. In the case of the PhD from India or China, this fills an important shortfall in terms of non-routine cognitive talent. However, the gardener from Mexico or the waiter from Nicaragua all too often serves to depress the wages of those formerly middle-class Americans. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, organized labor will become largely irrelevant within the next 10 years, eliminating barriers to education reform as well as optimum work rules. While private sector unions are already irrelevant in most sectors and geographies, public sector unions still represent the largest impediment to education and regulatory reform. However, both public opinion and political momentum have recently shifted against them. Historic bastions of organized labor such as Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and even Illinois are taking actions to weaken public sector unions. Second, the North American energy revolution, as well as the emerging manufacturing renaissance, will create a significant number of manual, non-routine jobs over the next decade. Despite the recent turmoil in the oil markets, the energy boom is here to stay. Between exploration, transportation, and refining, a whole host of new American jobs is being created. Similarly, manufacturing is returning to the United States as our costs are becoming highly competitive once more. Third, the deployment phase of the digital techno-economic revolution will create a wave of new cognitive non-routine jobs. Breaking the grip of public sector unions, as previously discussed, will enable us to redesign both K-12 and tertiary education with a clear focus on non-routine manual and cognitive vocational skills. And fourth, as soon as 2018, the United States will revamp its immigration policy to benefit the American worker. Today's immigration policy is not well suited to meeting the needs of employees or employers. A future policy will proactively recruit the best minds from around the world to come to the U.S. as researchers and entrepreneurs. At the same time, it will rigorously close our borders, identify those living here illegally, and only permit companies to hire those needed by the economy. 30 years ago, this would have been prohibitively expensive. But with today's technology, it's merely a political decision.